Welcome to our service of Holy Communion on this, the second Sunday of Easter. So as we sit, let's pray. Lord, as we gather here in this place and this time, a familiar place, a special time set in our calendars, our celebration of the season of Easter, we thank you that we are here to meet with you afresh. So may our gathering here today be a time and a space where we find a moment of meeting with you, when that veil that at times covers our world and our lives is removed and we see your glory. Glory revealed in the beauty of the universe you have created. Beauty revealed in the community that we are part of. Beauty revealed to us in your precious word. And most of all, beauty revealed in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us again today to come away with you to a quiet place, to meet with you in new ways, ways that help us glimpse how things really are when we truly come into your presence, when we truly allow your light to transform us and the whole world. Because we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And with all of that in mind, let's start our worship by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, Jesus is Lord. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen.
Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And our collect prayer for the second Sunday of Easter. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God the Father. Amen. That's it. We'll have our readings from Scripture.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from the first letter of St. Peter to the church, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than good, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 10, All Heaven Declares. Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. We begin at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he said this. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It is my wish and my prayer that I may speak only in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please, do sit down. And so our Easter journey through John's Gospel continues. And as it does, we find the disciples still in Jerusalem. In fact, it's the evening of the day of Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus had first appeared to Mary Magdalene. You'll remember that the disciples were all congregated in one house with all the doors securely locked. They were afraid. They were afraid of being arrested and suffering exactly the same fate as Jesus. Then, all of a sudden, Jesus appears before them. He greets them with his peace. His mission is accomplished. All is well. He shows them the signs of his crucifixion, the scars on his side and his hands. And they're overjoyed to see him alive. And then Jesus speaks to them saying, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So Jesus commissioned his friends there and then to continue his work. And famously, of course, Thomas wasn't with the rest of the disciples on that first evening. And having been told later by the disciples what had happened, he came out with his kind of life-defining statement. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." And so we have the doubting Thomas that everyone remembers. It's so easy to be critical of Thomas. And in my opinion, this later reputation of doubting Thomas is both unfortunate and unkind. After all, it seems to me that Thomas hasn't actually asked for anything more than the other disciples had already received. That is, to see Jesus, wounds and all. So that's what it took for Thomas to believe. But what is it, do you think, that makes people believe? Perhaps it's never really occurred to you, but I suppose if you drill down into it, there are just so many reasons why people may come to believe. But whatever they may be, I think each of our three readings this morning can give us a few possible answers and reasons. So let's start with that gospel reading, because here John gives us two separate reasons. First of all, there are Jesus' disciples huddled together, their misery and their fear locking them in far more effectively than the door they think is protecting them from the outside. They've heard some rumours. That's to say, they've heard what Mary, Peter, and the disciple Jesus loved had to say following their visit to the grave. But out of those three, Mary is the only one who claims to have actually seen the Lord. And even she has to admit that she didn't recognize him. I wonder if we had been one of Mary, Peter, or John, would we, in those circumstances, have fully believed? But there they are, all together, with the exception of Thomas. And Jesus appears before them. Unmistakably Jesus, full of extraordinary and unpredictable life, free to come and go as he pleases, but it is Jesus all the same. And they believe. Then a week later, and again on a Sunday evening, Jesus appears again, but this time Thomas is actually with them. Thomas, bless him. Thomas is skeptical. The dogged disciple who had seen the others all excited, elated, and unable to contain their joy. He'll trust no one's evidence but his own. He's not going to be taken in. Even his best friends can't convince him. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe, he said. So Thomas set out precisely what for him would constitute proof, and Jesus gives it to him, uncannily echoing Thomas's very own words. Only now, Thomas doesn't need it after all. What he needed was for Jesus to hear and respond. And Thomas believed. Thomas believed with that ringing statement of personal faith, "My Lord and my God." And then in our reading from Acts, the process is much more complicated. Here, Peter is offering his audience a mixture of reasons for believing. First of all, he's offering them a new way of seeing what they already know to be true. They've heard about Jesus and about the signs and the wonders that he performed among them. And they also know what happened to him at the end. But now Peter shows them through their own scriptures that this man they thought dead is actually alive with the life of God. And as further evidence of this, Peter offers them himself and the other disciples as witnesses. Go on, he urges. Ask us anything you like. But lastly, and most powerfully, Peter offers them a way of acknowledging what they have done. "It was you who crucified him," Peter said. Who knows how many of the people listening to Peter were themselves present at that crucifixion? It was, after all, a massive public event and spectacle. But present or not, Peter has, quite rightly, sensed a mood of what you might call collective guilt. They know that they and their representatives used the ungodly power of Rome to do their dirty work, and that Jesus was the innocent victim. Now they can confess and understand that their unfaithfulness didn't derail God's purpose. Bottom line, they can repent and believe. And then finally, in the passage from 1 Peter, we as readers are offered two reasons for believing. The first is hope, and the second is community. The hope is what brought those readers there in the first place. That wild, ridiculous hope that all this talk about Jesus being resurrected was actually true. Because if it is true, then perhaps there really is some point to this world. Perhaps we're not born simply to suffer and to die, but are actually active participants in the kingdom of God. And having accepted the hope, have stepped into a community of others who have also thrown caution to the wind and decided to live as though life matters. All of them together will hold on to that hope, whatever the opposition. And when one feels like giving up, the others will remind them why they are there. All of which looks to me like a perfect template for being church. That's probably another sermon for another day, so we'll do that. So the reasons for believing are many and various, and all of them will, at various times, appear completely ridiculous to others, and maybe even sometimes to ourselves. One man's proof, it seems, is another man's sneer. I imagine most of the readers of John's Gospel can sympathise with Thomas. They've heard about Jesus, but they've not seen him alive for themselves. They must depend on what the witnesses say and then take a step of faith. In the end, we hear Jesus give what feels like a gentle rebuke to Thomas. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe," he said. However, I don't see that so much as a rebuke to Thomas, but more of an encouragement to all those of us who have come later. So God, in his graciousness, may well meet you at the point at which you think you need proof in order to believe, just as he did with Thomas. But then he'll give you himself, and after that, you'll need nothing more. The scar bearer has declared that we who believe are blessed. And we are blessed indeed. As a result of the resurrection, life has new meaning for all of us. We are showered with grace. We are cleansed of our sins. We are redeemed. All because Jesus wasn't just another gentle holy man who ran foul of the bad guys and got the chop. The risen Jesus is completely different. As Thomas finally recognized, he is God, the Son of the Father, made incarnate, came to earth for our salvation and in total command of life and death. And in terms of legacy, where perhaps does that leave us? Our lives were never meant to be business as usual, with perhaps a bit of a flourish thrown in at Christmas and Easter. You can believe in Einstein's theory of relativity, but unless you're a practicing atomic physicist, that belief is hardly going to have a serious impact on the way you live your daily life. It's not like that with belief in the resurrection. For us, the resurrection can't just be abstract or only peripheral to our real lives. We are the living legacy of the risen Jesus. Beyond private personal belief, our lives are meant to proclaim he is risen. Just as Thomas needed a sign, so people today also need a sign that Jesus is real. And one of the few signs that they have is us. We are the gospel to them. Through what we do and say, through how we come across to them. We are the witnesses now. Christ lives in us. He is risen in us. We are the body of Christ, the body of the risen Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you for our morning service and for sending your Son Jesus into our world. As in this morning's Bible readings, the early followers who, like Thomas, had not seen the risen Christ heard from Peter that Jesus had revealed many signs and miracles and wonders. And for those who listened, if they follow and believe in Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins and resurrection. May we hear and accept this promise from Jesus and keep it close to our hearts. May we help others to share in this inner peace during the present chaos of the modern world. Help us to be humble and yet strong in our Christian beliefs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for future peace and stability within our dangerous world, trusting and believing that peace and love will overcome hatred, violence, and crime. Help us to be kind and loving to one another and to welcome and encourage newcomers into our church at St. Margaret's. We pray that all our world will see the end of wars and poverty and disease and environmental damage. We pray for future generations that love and compassion, reconciliation, fairness, and mutual respect will eventually overcome anger and division. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those carrying heavy troubles, especially within families. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are experiencing hardship and anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them and make us generous with our response to their difficulties. We pray for Sandra Mason, who is unwell, Amanda R., continuing with her treatment, Bob Veal, unwell, Carol and Jeff, who are housebound, Jeff is receiving palliative care, Chris and his family for the positive outcome from recent chemotherapy treatment. Gerald, Adrian, Heather, Harry, Oliver, Thomas and family on the death of Philip Cooper. Graham Lang undergoing treatment and his family. Harry Knox, Sheila Cousins, the Youth Club, the Sanctuary Cafe. And also in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in our beautiful world that needs to be preserved and cherished. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others in our community so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christ, our Saviour, comes to each of us and gives us that peace which the world cannot give. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, let's sing. We'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 303, Jesus Stand Among Us. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. Just as the sun shines on all who turn their faces to the light, just as the rain showers upon all who stand on open ground, so God's grace in Christ comes as a blessing to all. Born of the sweat of his suffering love, Christ willingly gave of himself that we might be made free. You who are willing to offer yourselves to God, come to the table in love and faith. because here we find forgiveness, hope, and the promise of eternal life. Because the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right, and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. With this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise, blessing and honour, and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour himself taught us, we say together the familiar words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord God, excuse me, Lord God our Father, through our Saviour Jesus Christ, you have assured your children of eternal life, and in baptism have made us one with him. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your love, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time to find out what the youngsters have been doing across the way.
Thanks for calling me a youngster. So who are we learning about today?
Doubtful Thomas.
That's right, Doubting Thomas. And we were learning about the fact that God uses not just our minds and our hearts, but he also acknowledges that our bodies are a very important part in understanding that he is real and that he is with us. And that's one of the wonderful things that he does is, you know, allow the disciples and Thomas to put their hands in his side. So we made
touchstones.
So they're little stones that we've decorated that we can keep and put in our pockets or on the mantelpiece and just remind us whenever we need a physical reminder that God is with us. And do you want to tell everyone what you thought the name of the apostle was?
Doubtful Sam.
That's perfect, thank you. Before you go, would you just like to tell everybody that we're going to sing the last hymn and what number it is?
The number for the last hymn is 469.
So now you know.
Thank you.
before we close with a final blessing, let me just remind you that coffee is available across the road. All are welcome. But today, especially, coffee is slightly more special than usual, as it is Richard's birthday, and he would like you to all come and help him celebrate. So please do that. So we go to our homes with this blessing. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you serve this day and always. Amen. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.